We're going to move on now. Our first non-game preview as we look ahead to a week that's going to occur in the NFL this season. We have a topic where we are going to discuss out of the head coaches in this in the NFL. Everyone knows what Black Monday is. It's a time where, upon average, seven NFL head coaches lose their job. If we were to sit here and predict the first one to do so, we're going to give our reasoning. Now, I want to preface at least my opinion based on if any one of the guys that I know who you guys have, if any one of those guys get fired first, y'all are 1,000,000,000% right, because I agree. All these coaches, there's no way you can hold this position and not be held accountable to the point of losing your job like all these guys that we are about to bring up have. So with that said, Corday, who is your first head coach to get fired this year?
Brandon Staley, man. This man should be gone. I mean, he shouldn't even be the head coach right now. He should have got fired after he blew that 28. They scored 28 points.
Fourth largest playoff comeback defeat in the history of the NFL.
In the history of the NFL. Ever since the Oilers did it, I mean, ever since the Bills did it against the Oilers, that's how long ago it's been. So you made history in giving up the biggest comeback ever, and I'm just like crazy. Like, I don't know how you kept a job after that, but then starting off 0-2, staring 0-3 in the face. You won that game against the Vikings, but
by pure luck,
because Brandon Staley kept going for it on fourth and short and not getting it.
He was trying to lose the game. He was trying to lose the game.
Yeah. Then he did it again against the Raiders, going for it on fourth and one or four.
And almost lost that one.
With his quarterback, with a freaking, like, the hit, like a mannequin don't feel like he could be on the showroom if his hand looked like that. Like,
you got him sneaking the ball when he found out later that he fractured his in middle finger, and you got him sneaking across. Like, come on now, let's think. And the crazy thing about it, he keeps going for it, and his team somehow still winning. So I don't know if the defense know what's coming. Like, if the defense know, like, hey, we probably ain't going to get this, but we're going to make this stop. But you would think we're going to stop going for it so we can actually give our team even a better chance to win this game. But nah. I'm going for it. I didn't get it. And then it was funny. They asked him after the game. It was like, why do you keep going for it these last 2 weeks? And it seemed like your team hasn't, you know, they haven't converted. They was like, he's like, somebody got to make a play. Or you don't have to go for it then. All right? It's crazy to me. He should lose his job.
Yeah, let your defense make the play. If you want to talk, somebody got to make a play. Yeah.
Kick the ball. And shoot, Khalil Mack was making plays. He had six sacks in the last game. So maybe you should stop. If Khalil Mack probably gets two sacks instead of the six, Raiders win that game.
And even on top of that, too, like when he went for it in the Raider game, right? There was 3.5 minutes, 340, 320, something like that left on the clock.
Yeah.
It's not official that the game, like, you get this, you can milk it. Yeah. Right. So if you miss, then you obviously set the Raiders up in the position that they did. Right. The other part of it also, Aiden O'Connell was not playing well
at all.
If you punt the ball and make Aiden O'Connell go the distance, which he hasn't done all day, because like you said, your ICU that day, my bruh, was Khalil Mack having six sacks. So, I mean, if now they know the only thing you're going to do is throw, like, to me, that's why that one wasn't as like I didn't agree with the one in Minnesota. I didn't agree with that one either. They won because TJ Hockenson, and he dropped the ball. It happens. Whatever. It's football. You know what I mean? But I think that one was worse because of that. Like, there were more things going on that, like, and then your quarterback's hands all busted. Like, there's more things to me that scream just punt the ball. Let's make him do that. If he can do that, well, then my defense is even worse than I thought it was. On a day where Khalil Mack is getting six sacks. That's a great one right there. That's really a great one right there.
Yeah, I agree, bro. I agree. Even as a Raider fan, I thought they was really just trying to get us to go off sides. As much as he went for it, I did not think he was going to do it. Because like you said, Jordan, you're going to make, to me, you punt the ball, you make Aiden go the whole field. Mm-hmm. To me, I mean, it's a win. Because you guys has been dominating the trenches the whole game. Khalil Mack got six sacks, bro. You got a rookie. And to me, I disagree. I thought Aiden actually played pretty solid. he didn't play great, but I thought he played solid. But I still would have punted the ball because Khalil Mack and that defense was getting after that quarterback and that whole offensive line. They was dominating. And when you're doing that, you're giving them short field to allow the rook with a big arm. You know, he was getting better. To me, I thought he started to show his flashes in the second half. Obviously, that's when that happened and whatnot. Yeah. When, you know, he tried to go for it. So, yeah, I agree with you 1,000% on that one. And then all the other things, obviously, he continued to go. It don't look like he's ever going to stop, really, you know. So, yeah.
But even in, like, I remember in week two against the Titans, they're in Titans territory on, like, the 38, and it's 4th-and-2, and he punt. And it's, like, the second quarter. Like, wait a minute. It's, like, a three-point game in the second quarter. Like, who knows what's ahead? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know. Like, there's just these decisions that I don't understand. And, Jay, you've always brought this up, which I always think is a great point and something to always keep in mind. Coaches have their disciplines, offense, defense, you know, communicator, culture guy, motivator, whatever it is. Brandon Staley has been a defensive guy. That's what got him there after what he did, excuse me, with that Sean McVay defense over there when he was with the Rams, right? Yep. And now their defense has been pitiful. Yep. Pitiful.
And they have talent. And they have talent.
And they have guys. And it just it's pitiful and it can't work. So when that happens, you know, what really gives. So that's a good point there. Mm-hmm. Who, Jay, is your coach that deserves firing?
I gotta go with our coach, bro. I gotta go with Josh McDaniels, man. You know, it's crazy. It's crazy. I have more faith. You know, I'm going to say this right now, man. Obviously, you can go back and you can listen to all the podcasts and all the shows, episodes. I had more faith in him going into the season last year, even this season. Obviously, I had us winning more games. I think you had us at 5 or 6, something like that.
5.
I had us at 8. And right now, man, it's just trending like, you know, it's
going to be we might
about
get 4.
About 5 or 6. Yeah. I think we'll probably get 5 or 6. I don't know. Maybe that's just a little me being biased or whatever. But you got to go with Josh McDaniels, man. I mean, obviously the decision making, I think that's what's really confusing to me. I was okay when they got rid of Carr. I was hoping for.
Yeah. I feel like the way they approached up to Carr was worse than just getting rid of Carr.
Yeah. I get, yeah, you can
they
say
thought
that.
They were going to get Tom Brady.
They thought they was going to get Brady. You
and
know,
they didn't get Brady, so they bet. Yeah.
They settled for Jimmy, somebody who is not as good as Carr. I feel like we've been saying this. Yeah, that's been proven. We've been saying it for a cool minute. Carr is not the greatest or anything, but there's times where he showed flashes of being a 10 to 15, 10 to 12 type quarterback in the league. And one of the reasons really is because his arm to stretch the field. And that's something Jimmy just can't do, bro. And you bring in a guy and you're feeling this confident about him, then we're believing in you. We're Raider fans. We're thinking, okay, then, you know, this offense need to at least look good. We know the defense is – I was hoping the defense was going to improve but not be, like, elite. I still expected the offense to still be pretty good, you know, especially having Josh Jacobs back, you know, all that. I thought that was going to work. But, you know, what Josh McDaniels has done – you know, just hasn't been it hasn't been inspiring, bro. I mean, he's 7-14 with the Raiders. He wasn't that good in Denver. Obviously, we know the whole situation with that, you know. And again, going back to his decision making, we talked about Staley. Let's talk about Josh McDaniels. I mean, you know, not going for it on the field goal and the Steelers, the Sunday night that I was there for. You know, I got to witness that live. You know, that.
Bro, what did that feel like in person? Like, was that just like a gut shot? Like, what was that like?
It was, bro. I mean, you're still thinking like, okay, maybe he, you know, maybe he knows something we don't know. Maybe he really feel like, you know, okay, defense is gonna get a stop and we'll get the ball, we'll get a turnover or something. Because defense was playing well, but you're right there, bro, and you know, like. So that was questionable. And then two calls in this game that he didn't even throw the flag for. I felt like
the hurry up was a second.
Justin Herbert, when he went for that touchdown, that was not a touchdown, bro. He didn't even challenge that. That, to me, that was questionable. And then for him to – with Devontae Adams, that was a touchdown. He did the hurry up. Now, he scored. He scored, but we lost. So, we're going to continue to bring that up.
It's like the opposite when you see teams like – remember, like, everyone remembers this. Like, in the NFC title game last year when Devontae Smith on fourth down made that one-handed fumble catch, right? Mm-hmm. And he was clearly like, hey, get on the ball, snap it, don't let him review it. Yeah, exactly, Cordae. Like, Cordae, no, that's his squad, right? Like, Josh McDaniels actively did that against his own team. I mean,
it just don't, you know, it's just the decision making during the games that he's made, you know, it just doesn't make sense. And again, I'm going back to the offense. You are a offensive minded dude. It should have been a better game plan. You brought in Jimmy with an O-line that was already kind of questionable. We've been talking about the O-line for the last 3 or 4 years. It's still the same for the most part. And, you know, again,
actively chose not to invest in it.
Yeah. Yep. You know, they have invested. They just didn't put enough investments in it. Guys.
Last offseason, they put one move in it.
Yeah.
They got Greg Van Roten from Buffalo.
They got Greg. They
That's the only move this last offseason in draft or free agency.
Yeah. Yeah. No, no, no. You're right. As guard, as right guard. Bad. But Mumford, their goal, what they were trying to do, they were trying to put Illuminor right guard and have Mumford right tackle. They were trying to switch some things up and try to scheme differently, and it just hasn't worked.
Yeah, for sure.
And you have a team.
My bad, bro. Keep going.
No, you good. You good. You have a team that is known for running the ball. If you cannot build that offensive line correctly and your defense is not improved, and now you got a quarterback that can't take over games, because we know Jimmy's not going to do that. If you put Jimmy into an offense, you're expecting the defense to be really good, and you're expecting the run game to be really good. Well, if the defense is not too good and the running game ain't good because of the offensive line, then, you know, and then not only, not even sometimes it's not even just the offensive line, it's that the defense expect us to run the
ball. To run the ball.
You know, and you know, it just, to me, you knew that coming into the season. So we are, you know, now your unit that you're supposed to specialize in looks bad, you know. And another thing, too, with him is he's expecting, well, he just said recently in a conference going into this Green Bay game, is that he expects Jimmy to play if he's healthy. I mean, Jimmy is a starter. He'll be under center if he's healthy. And to me, bro, I just feel like you got to go with Aiden for the rest of the season. We've seen enough from Jimmy. At least with Aiden, you know, he can stretch the field. You know, he can open up the offense. I think the only reason why Josh may not be able to open up the offense to him like that is off of what Aiden may not know already.
The number of plays, like the way he can quickly say, like, hey, run, blah, blah, blah. And then like that. Like that
talent,
might be the only thing.
Right. Talent wise, though, I feel like he can do more. Yeah. And then you got a lot of quarterbacks coming out next year. You know, you want to see if we're a team that may be in the need for a quarterback, you might as well see what you got in the guy that you just drafted this year.
Yeah.
You know what you got in Jimmy. So why are you even saying, oh, yeah, he's going to be under center? For what? The offense is dead with Jimmy because your defense is not as good.
That was the whole reason why I wasn't excited about the signing of Jimmy.
Well, the reason I thought – yeah, I wasn't either. I don't think no Raider fan really was, you know. I think some, but a lot of us, half of us was mad because Carr left. Then the other half was okay with Carr leaving, but expected us to get a different quarterback.
And not that bucket right there. You know,
and it didn't happen for those fans. Those fans is just kind of in the dark, like, okay, well, we'll just see what we got. I had 8, you had 5, you know. Neither one of us have us making the playoffs, you know. So yeah, man, it got to be Josh McDaniels' decision making, you know, the record, you know, and the team just don't look like they're really improving. And this is one thing I'll say, and this is why I would have Josh McDaniels over the guy that you have, Staley, and over the guy that you're going to say, Jordan. I'll wait till you say that person, is because this team right now is not even really, I mean, it's been close. I know the Steelers game was close. Your Chargers game was kind of close at the end. But the team don't look like they're playing inspiring football.
They're not.
When your locker room seems like they've given, or the players has given up on you, that's when it's time to make a change. See, that's one thing I'll say about Staley. He makes his decisions, and they're dumb decisions and whatnot, but this team is still playing hard. They're still in the mix. They just made the playoffs last year. They had a disappointing loss, but they made it. The guy that you're going to bring up, Jordan, I mean, that dude, the team is still playing for them. You know, I don't
especially
know if
what
this
we
team
just saw tonight.
After these last 2 weeks, you know, although the team.
True, yeah, no, yeah.
I don't want to give it up.
You can say it, bro. I'm not worried. Everybody, it's Matt Eberflus. We'll get there. I'll say
so,
it.
So, I mean, they're fighting.
I appreciate Jay, like, keeping it in the back. Look at that, bro.
Let you go ahead and do your thing.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, like, I feel like the team is fighting for him. They're fighting. They're playing hard. Yeah. They just had a comeback from Denver to have them win a game. They come back and they lost that game. That's
smacked Washington tonight.
Yeah, but then they come tonight and they smack Washington. And then the crazy thing is they could have went down. They could have really after Washington. Yeah, they could have blew it because after Washington started to come back, bro, it was almost like, okay, here we go again. Mm-hmm. That didn't happen. The Chicago Bears is like, nah, we gonna win this one. And that's exactly what happened. Moore continued to put a hurting on that team. Yep.
But got Josh him McDaniels, in three fantasy leagues.
Hey, look, it's two of the guys that you guys brought up. One's a defensive-minded guy in Staley, defensive-minded guy in Matt Eberflus. Both of those offenses look better than the offensive-minded guy that I need to be fired, bro. And this is the offensive-minded. Come on, bro.
True.
Come on. True.
And both of the head coaches who defensive coaches, they defense look trash.
Yeah.
So it's whatever the calling card is ain't working for these trash teams.
But the defense ain't working over here either. So,
hey, you know me, Jay. You know me. I've said this. I'm sitting over here, man. Give me a pulpit and give me a white robe and call me the choir. You preach it to me. I'm telling you right now, bro. That's where I'm at. And you know this is where I have been at with this guy. Mm-hmm. And I hope you're right before I am as we revisit this. Big shout out to Abe, our producer, the guy that was like, hey, we're going to do this right now. And then we're going to see later on in the season kind of what happens and how it unfolds. And I hope it unfolds with Josh McDaniels going down. Mm-hmm. I hope. That's why, like, honestly, bro, this Monday night, I hope Raider fans hear me. I hope we lose. I hope we lose. Because we will get one step closer to the thing we need to happen, if that happens. So that's why, like, look, lose. I hope we lose. I don't wish bad things upon the guys that are out there giving their heart out. Max Crosby, Devontae Adams, all those dudes. Like, I mean, I got so much respect for them, but they don't deserve this. They don't.
They don't. They don't. If they want to be traded, bro, especially Devontae, I don't think Max is going. And I don't even think Devontae is going anywhere. But I could see a scenario where that changes in his mind.
I hope they go, really, bro. I hope. I don't want to see them go. I don't want to.
You know what? And let me say,
they're great. They're amazing. I love them to death.
Let me say this one thing too, bro. I get the, you know, wanting to lose in a sense so we can get somebody better. But this is my only reason. Well, for one, I hate losing. That's just period. I don't care if it's somebody I don't want there. I hate when my team lose. I'll say this, bro. The only thing that holds me back from that is that it's a whole nother rebuild, bro. You bring in a new GM, you got to bring in a whole new head coach. I think we got to
do it, man.
All of this. I'm tired of seeing that.
I know, but this is the
I get it. I know. Yeah. I know.
This is where we are.
I know, but I'm just saying. I'm tired of seeing it. I brought it up in the chat. I think me and Corday kind of briefly, we was kind of talking about it. This was a few days ago, maybe last week. You know, that's the only thing I'm tired of, bro. You know, you need stability. And I can see why Mark Davis is trying to stick with him. You know, you got fans, you know, yelling at him and whatnot, you know. And he talking about smarten
up.
Use
your head. Use your head.
Smarten
up. There's no way I'm going to pay three head coaches because I gave John Gruden a 10-year, $10 million a year contract.
Yeah, 100 million.
And I'm paying Josh McDaniels. I don't want to pay a third coach out of my pocket. My dad only left me so much millions.
Yeah. It's not.
Got to sell another portion of that team.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
He tried to Jay, do that. That's going somewhere else. But anyway, go ahead, bro.
I mean, everyone knows. I mean, we know our allegiance. We know where we stand. We know what the colors of the blood is, right? It ain't type O negative. It's type silver and black where we bleed. So that's what it's got to be. And that's what I'm always going to hear contribute to the progression of. So, but aside from that, my coach, Matt Eberflus, I talked about it. Appreciate you, Jay, not trying to, you know, break my eggshells before I wanted to make an omelet. I love it. But this man is 3-18 as a head coach since he has been in the NFL. Prior to the win tonight against Washington, as we record this on the PM of Thursday Night Football Week 5, this guy was 0-4 this season, right? And he was one of two remaining teams that had yet to have a win until they had a very good showing against Washington Commanders. Justin Fields was my ICU last week against the Broncos. But how much do we really know what that means against this unit that has just been an absolute sieve and tissue paper throughout this point in the NFL season? Something else that really, like, makes me scream, like, why we need to get rid of Matt Eberflus if you're a Bears fan, right? This team decided to build around Justin Fields in the draft this last year. They had the number one pick. They chose to trade it away. That means you feel like he's the guy, which I would have done as well. And then upon doing that, you acquired different assets, one of which before you traded away that number one pick was to acquire a man named Chase Claypool. This last previous weekend with Chase Claypool, it was initially stated that they asked Chase Claypool if he wanted to come to the game or not. And the response to the media was that he said no. But when in fact what actually happened after the Bears media was questioned is that Matt Eberflus, in fact, told him, you stay home as an order. Mm-hmm. And so he did. But now he's telling the media different. How is it the fact that you can give up your first part of your assets to a guy who you're then going to just have this type of discombobulation to when it comes to communication? Communication should be at the forefront if you are running an NFL franchise, if you are in a position of leadership like Matt Eberflus is. And that didn't happen. Beyond that, we saw last year in week 6, the first area where I wanted to give Matt Eberflus credit was when he tapped into the QB design run game against the New England Patriots. That's where we saw a shift in this Bears offense. Okay, Justin Fields, we didn't necessarily see that type of athleticism when he was in Ohio State, but once he showcased it in the NFL, this is something that we need to use along the path of his tutelage. And then this season, for whatever reason, when they stumbled upon that hypothesis last year, they decided, nah, fuck that. We ain't doing it. We gonna get rid of it all. Because it worked. Why? I don't understand that if you're going to make these moves to build around him and set him up to be the best version of himself, that you're going to ignore all of this evidence that you actually have on what he can do and not tap into the QB design run game. I don't get it. Last year, Justin Fields averaged 7.5 QB design runs, right? That's also including plays on the read option where he handed it to the running back because of the way the defense played it. This year, right, he's averaging less than two a game. This is literal malpractice if you are a head coach. We can't be doing this. Otherwise, like, why am I giving you these assets? If I'm Ryan Poles, the GM that was hired in 2022, and I'm giving you these assets, and I'm throwing this stuff your way, and I'm allowing you to go out in free agency as a defensive coach and acquire the linebackers that you want, why still are you, throughout these, 21 games that you have coached, you're allowing a league most 30.5 a game on defense? And then when we have something going on offense, you go away from it? Bruh, I know it's Thursday, but what's going on?
Like, yeah.
That's just where I'm at right now. So for me, hey, Jay, I hope it's Josh McDaniels first, because we all know where my heart is. But as I sit here and I watch the game with my eyes and I know where my head is, Matt Eberflus is the guy that gets that vote.
Yeah, not only on that, I'll just add to this. A lot of the defenders that we got playing, like a lot of the corners, especially our man-based corners, and he got them playing zone. So that's another reason why you ain't even got the right people to defend. Now, it don't even look right. It just don't even look right.
Those are the people he wanted, too. Yeah, so I get exactly where you're coming from, Corday.
You play man, that's your best? Oh, no, we're going to play zone. Like, nah, that's not what I'm good at. No, that's what we're going to
do. That's like the dream team. That's what the dream, the Eagles dream team? Something like that?
Yeah, Eagles dream team. Yeah, we had press, man.
I just wasn't sure. I just had
a... You were on the awesome water play. Single high, free safety in a cover three.
We had the best press man-to-man cover dude. And we had him playing cover two. We had him playing cover two off, man.
You had him playing free safety, bruh.
At some points, because we had because the free safety was jumping under routes all the time. He was playing the cover three, and he's supposed to read his dude. And then all of a sudden, the free safety dropped the under route, and Nami looking back like, oh, ain't nobody covering this dude. So he got to chase after him. It looked like Nami got beat. No, the free safety kept jumping on all the under routes for no reason when you're supposed to be the deepest of the deepest. Nami struggled, and Dominic Waters-Cromartie struggled both in that defense, and they was both man-to-man guys, but we got them playing cover two so we could read the QB's eyes and so we could try to jump stuff, but that's not what they strong points.
Right, brought them in to be something they're not.
I just had to bring that up.
Square pegs and round holes. That's my defensive game plan.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, gentlemen. That was a great show. Really appreciated us going into that. We're going to go ahead and see throughout the course of the season where those coaches end up. This is going to be the first week where we experience buys in the NFL. Really glad to be here. October, the baseball playoffs are upon us. This is the best sports month of the year. Don't and if you're me. Still listening, you've just heard the best podcast on the net. Keep it locked.